You know how you feel when you just tip back your chair? You know, do you ever tip back your chair and feel like you're just about ready to fall and you catch yourself? That's how I felt all morning. I've just been out of whack all day. And now I know why. Body ministry. Amen? And what God wants to do this morning. So if you'll turn to Psalm 40 this morning, it was read during our prayer time. And all morning I was asking God, I said, I just don't feel like I should go in the direction that I had planned. And so I said, God, what have you got going? And I didn't hear anything. And so God laid on my heart during worship Psalm 40, and I asked for some confirmation from that. Certainly in the last 15 minutes there's been some confirmation, so I want to share out of Psalm 40 this morning. Psalm 40. Did you have something? Yeah, we'll do that in a little bit, okay? All right. Psalm 40, and it's going to minister to a bunch of folks where you're at right now, because one of the things I know about serving God is a lot of serving God is waiting. How many are there? A lot of serving God is waiting. And there's a divine tension in all of us, because essentially what we're waiting for is the culmination. And we're going to always feel like this until that day when we stand before Him. Come on, somebody. It's just like when you're a teenager. How many remember when you were a teenager? How many teenagers remember when you were a teenager? And you can't wait to be an adult so you can do what you want when you want. Let me tell you, can I just give you a little wisdom? Enjoy being a teenager. Because when you can do what you want, when you're an adult, you can't do what you want. Because you got too many responsibilities. Come on, someone. It's kind of like that. We're waiting for that day. Paul describes it as being wanting to be with the Lord, but wanting to be here. Peter describes it as being longing for the tent to be gone, for the tabernacle to receive that glorified body that we'll receive one day. So there's a divine tension that will always be with us. We'll never be completely there and satisfied, because we'll always be looking for the culmination of all things. I waited patiently. Patiently. For the Lord. Patience is something that's hard to come by. Especially in a world where demands are made and issues are met right away. Give it. Give me, give me, give me. I'll take all you can give me. But divine tension is something the psalmist knows about. David knew about waiting on the Lord. Years and years waiting on Him. Who's He waiting on? I waited patiently. Not for my friend, not for my wife, not for my children. Not for my job, not for promotion, not for recognition. I waited patiently for the Lord, the one who is able to make all things right, the one who's already established my footsteps, the one who's already given me all that I need, the one who is knowing when to do what needs to be done in my life, the great timekeeper, the one that knows all things. That's who we're waiting on. I'm the kind of guy that likes to be on time. And if I make an appointment with somebody and they're late, I go all kinds of sideways. We had a meeting. What happened? And I could get impatient. I can go from 0 to 10 really quick. Patience is a hard thing. But we learn patience when we serve God. I want healed now, God. I want the answer now, God. I want the supply now, God. I want, God, you told me, you gave me this word how long ago, God? Why, where are you, God? And we could do that with each other. Because we're all imperfect. Turn to somebody and say, you imperfect. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me. It's a wonderful thing when God speaks to you. It's a wonderful thing. The King of the universe speaking to you personally. It's a wonderful thing. And God, when that moment comes when He answers the prayer, mostly it's unexpectedly. He doesn't announce, I'll answer your prayer tomorrow at 10 o'clock. He doesn't do that kind of announcement. I would like it if He did. Know about you. But I'd like a little bit of warning. This is when you're going to get the answer to prayer. But He doesn't do that. It's not in His character. Because then we would be Lord, not Him. I waited patiently for the Lord. King of the universe, the great I am. And He inclined to me and heard my cry. Now David begins to reminisce about what God did for him. Because he said, he heard my cry, but he said, all of it culminated in it, the build-up was, He brought me out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. No matter what God does from here forward, look what He's done. Our life was a shambles. Our life was a mess. We were so bound by sin. The best of what life had for us would have ended up in death and eternal separation from God. The best of life. No matter how much money we had in our pocket or what beautiful person was beside us or what stature we had or what job we had, no matter what it was, we were in a miry clay, sinking deep in sin. He paints the background for those that would read. He said, He brought me up out of a horrible pit. Wow. Looking forward, we want golden streets and pearly gates and angels with wings and golden censers and harps. But look where we came from. Look where we came from. He brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of a miry clay. Now watch what the psalmist says. He set my feet upon a rock. Set my feet upon a rock. Every time I read that, I think about working out on the rigs. Worked out on the rigs and drawing gas wells and We had water pits, and if it would rain, man, I can't tell you how many times I was working out by the pits. I lost my boots in the pit. Mud so thick, I stepped out of my boot. You know what I was looking for? A rock. I was looking at some place to stand where I could put my wet, soggy sock back in a wet, soggy boot. He brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of a miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my footsteps. Look what it says. Established my steps. God did not bring you this far to have you guess what's going to happen next. He established your footsteps. You say, well, where am I supposed to step? You'll know when God says step, just like you have before. How did you make it this far? Turn to somebody and said, I made it this far by the grace of God. You know that feeling like, man, I don't know what happened, but I'm glad it did. Get used to it. That's the way it's going to be. Because you're God, He's God, and you're not. The psalmist gives us a background, sets us up. He also established my steps. He also put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Now watch what he says. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Our lives are examples of the grace and the power of Almighty God. Whatever we're going through, it's showtime for those that are looking at our lives. I don't know about you, but I'd like to live my life in secret. Thank you very much. I don't want to be on display, my life, an open book. I'm a private guy, but it's not my choice. David says, many will see and fear and trust in the Lord. What will they see? Where God brought you. Where He brought you from. Where He brought you to. Life is an open book. And then as a parenthesis, He talks to you personally. He says, blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now, it's okay to mark your Bible. If it's not, mark your neighbor's Bible. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Right there in the column, religious people. Religious people are people that will take credit where credit goes to God. Religious people will make a religion out of feelings. Look what it says. And does not respect the proud. That means give any allegiance to those who are off on their own, aside from God, being proud in their own hearts. What's God say about the proud? He says, I'll resist the proud, but I'll give grace to the humble. Nor such as turn aside to lies. This is all on the theme of patience, by the way. I waited patiently. There are those in religious realms that are done waiting patiently and go ahead and do something. And I want you to be warned about King Saul. King Saul did not wait on God. Got impatient. Read it. Was waiting on Samuel to come to sacrifice. And the people were restless and began to disperse. It was God's will they disperse. Someone said, there is no traffic jam on the second mile of life. Those who turn aside the lies. This is all on the patience issue. We wait on God until God says, thank you very much for your advice. Thank you very much for the push. But I'm not going anywhere until God says go. I'm not going to step until God says step. And when God says step, get out of my way. Because the enemies of the cross will tell you to rush when you're supposed to stay and stop when you're supposed to go. Well-meaning people sometimes. I waited patiently for the Lord. He says that you make the Lord your trust. Resonating within my spirit is Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Because you're living your life, my friend, for an audience of one. The recipient of the blessings of God, David, understood that he's saying this out of, number one, the Holy Spirit unctioning him, or it wouldn't be in here. But it gives us a slice of what we all go through. There's not one person in this room that has not gone through waiting and waiting and waiting. You may be still waiting. And I got news for you. You may wait some more. So this isn't free time. Because you're hearing these words in your ears doesn't mean that the waiting is over. This may be at the beginning of your waiting. It may be in the middle of your waiting. But I encourage you and adjure you by the Spirit of the living God. Wait on God. Because anything else is leanness of soul. If you can make it happen, the benefits of that happening will pale in significance to what God has for you. The reward of waiting is a solid rock. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done. And your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Do you know that God has thoughts for us that we couldn't even enumerate? We think about God periodically throughout the day. Most of us think about Him a lot. Do you know God has you on His mind all the time? I don't know how He does it. But I know He does. They cannot be renumbered. God knows everything. God knows everything you're going through. Every intricacy. Every little thought that you have. Every time you come back to that thing. Every time you try the doorknob and say, God, when is this going to open? God floods us with patience and the fruit of the Spirit. Waiting on Him. How many times in David's life did he hide in caves and escape the spear and do all sorts of things? He understood something. That if we'll grab and hold on to this today, what we've heard from the congregation, the ministry, God vindicates and God resists are trying to make things happen. He'll vindicate. He'll bring what He promised to pass. David says, I've tried all the other stuff. He says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. He said, finally I get it, God. Sacrifice and offering wasn't in the The only sacrifice that God attends to is the sacrifice of our Lord. We talked about it this morning. The blood, the thing, the cry, all the sickness that Christ took on His heart, all the sin that He took in His body. That's the only thing that moves the heart of God. No fancy sacrifice from us. No tears. There's a place in Italy where they get on their knees and go from one place to another, a statue to the church on broken glass. I forget the name of the town in Italy. It's supposed to make them saintly. I don't know about you, but I think that's stupid. I'd have to tell somebody who's doing that. That's the stupidest thing I ever seen. And most of us in this room would, I hope. But listen, I don't want to get offensive this morning. But in the spirit realm, we're walking on our knees sometimes on glass trying to get God's attention. Stop it. Stop it. That's not going to get God's attention. The only sacrifice that He recognizes is the sacrifice of our Lord. Don't get pious on me now. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Why? Because it's already been taken care of. Burnt offering and sin offering are gone. The law has been fulfilled in Christ. And I said, behold, I come. It occurs to me that the throne is stationary. The throne is not mobile. The throne doesn't come where we want it to. We come to the throne. Stationary. Set in cement. God's not moving for you. You got to come to God. When you line up with the Word, that's when everything flows. Come on, somebody. How many could say yes and amen? When you line up with the Word of God, when you know you're being obedient and God answers your prayer, you know you're in perfect alignment with the throne of God. I'm in the will of God. God's not moving. I come to you. Behold, I come to you. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O God. David's given some keys here. How's he waiting patiently? How's he remembering all of these things? And how's he keeping a straight attitude toward God? He says, in the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. There's a change that's taken place in David. And if there's not a change in you, if you're still trying to prove yourself with God, if you're still trying to get God's attention, if you're still trying to get God to come your way, it may be it's a heart issue. Just maybe a heart issue with you. I delight, overjoyed, excited, can't wait to do the will of God. Anybody like me, and sometimes you feel like doing the will of God's like being drugged with oxen to the place in the will of God. Anybody there? Let's be honest. Okay, God, if you want me to. If I got to. You've already got your reward. Exasperation, impatience, hypocrisy. God, I'll go ahead and do it, but my heart's not in it. You got your reward. I waited patiently for the Lord. When He does it, Isn't it good? Did God's touch good? I delight. Turn to Psalm 1 quickly. Keep your finger in Psalm 40. Blessed is the man. Turn to your wife or sister or friend there and say woman also. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Do you realize you got a reserved seating? You realize that? You got reserved seating? You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. There's a chair sitting right by the throne, got your name on it. You sit right there. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Come on. Nor stands in the path of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. I delight to do your will. In his, how does he delight? Because the man of God, the woman of God, is saturated with God's word at all times, at every place. You are so saturated with the word of God, when the enemy speaks, it sticks out like a sore thumb. I'm sure you've heard that people that work for banks, cashiers, are taught to handle only real money all the time. So if they ever feel a counterfeit, they'll know exactly what it is. Saturate yourself with God. How do you wait patiently? How do you stand in and wait for God? How do you delight to do His will? Saturate yourself with the Lord. Saturate yourself with His Word. Saturate yourself in hearing Him. Practice the presence of God so that when God comes and speaks, you'll know it's God. When the enemy speaks, you'll pick it out just like that. All of us have had the experience of getting halfway down the wrong path and realizing that it wasn't God speaking, it was the devil. Come on, somebody. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me. Watch what it says in Psalm 1. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Turn to somebody and say, I want to prosper. Come on, say it loud. I want to prosper. How do I prosper? It's guaranteed. Blessed is the man who walks not. Don't hang around ungodly people. Don't make friends of sinners. You be a friend of sinners, but not a friend. Don't do what they do. Don't stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Put scornful beside religious people. A sinner can't be scornful. They don't even know the right way. Quiet in here. Don't beat sinners up for being sinners. Use their example. Sinner knows how to be a good sinner. Come on, someone. Don't beat up a sinner for being a sinner. Stay away from people that fake faith. Pray for them. Very quickly. If you got a piece of paper, write these things down. How do I do the will of God? How do I stand in the right place with God? Number one, proclaim the good news of righteousness. Don't restrain your lips. Verse 9 of chapter 40 of Psalms. How do I do these things? Do not hold back. Secondly, do not hide the righteousness of God within your heart. Declare your faithfulness, His faithfulness and His salvation. Declare it. How do you declare it? It's more than just with words. Be pleased. Be happy. Be blessed. Let your face know it. Don't get upset at the little trivial things. We've been alive long enough to know this too shall pass. Have a bad day, chalk it up as a bad day. Come on, somebody. How do I wait patiently? How am I in the perfect will of God? How do I trust Him with all of my heart? Begin to act like God wants you to. The best place to check patience is in a doctor's waiting room. Sit in a waiting room, people waiting for a doctor. Just look at how people... You got the guy that's going... You know, especially if they're smokers. They go outside about 10 times. Come back in. Go up to the desk. They didn't call me yet, did they? Come on. Best place to check patients. Declare God's word in your life. That's where David learned patience. Where have you learned patience in your life? If you're a Christian, it's everywhere. If you're a Christian, waiting on God and His promises, especially in this generation. I can't imagine being right in the middle of the biggest revival that ever hit. It's coming. It's coming. And all these years of waiting will seem like a dream. When I read the accounts of the outpouring of God's Spirit in the mid-19th century and in the first part of the 20th century, I long for that. People seeing signs, wonders, and miracles on a daily basis. Towns, areas, states, countries changing almost overnight. Can you imagine? But we are a generation that has had to wait. If there's any generation that has ever lived, save maybe the 400 years of bondage the Israelites experienced in Egypt. Or maybe the Jews that were waiting for the Messiah to come after hundreds of years of bondage. Can you imagine what happened when Christ rose from the dead and appeared to 500 and the church grew? We're in the book of Acts. Can you imagine? Those probably got first prize for waiting patiently. But in our lifetime, we've not seen what we're promised. But can I tell you it's coming? Just what happened this morning. Our prayers are being answered. Body ministry. God doing what He wants instead of being in Acts 20 today. All signs, wonders, and miracles that are taking place. Because God is getting ready to explode on the scene. I can't say if it's tomorrow, but I'm certainly seeing the beginnings of it. And it does my heart good. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me. He inclined unto me. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning for your inclination to us. Lord, that you've looked down from heaven, from that perfect place that you're in, that stationary throne that you sit on. You're saying, you are coming in the line with my will. And Lord, the joy in heaven that's happening just now, God, we thank you. We thank you for all the thoughts you have for us. And of all the words that we could say, it is hallelujah, God. It is hallelujah, God. Of all the goodness that you give us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you know the words. Hallelujah. 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 I'll obey you. 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 Whatever adjustment you want to do, dear God, whatever it is that you want to change about our particular lives, oh God, have your way. Have your way this morning. As we're closing in prayer, if you have been away from God, you say, today I make a commitment to turn my life completely over to God. I'm done trying to run my own life. I want you to just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you this morning. I'm done running my own stuff. I want God to run my life. Give it over. Anyone else? So, Father, I pray this morning, we resign from running our own lives, God. Our resignation is complete. Lord, you have it. The keys, the will, the deed, the lordship of our lives is yours, God. Do what you deem necessary that you may get the glory, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all the participation this morning and the words that we heard. You love us so much. Father, we're completely beholden to you, committed to you. We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you.